Today we're going to talk about the gospel of faith foretold. And out of Galatians chapter 3, verses 1 through 14. Galatians 3, 1 through 14. Our golden text today is found in verse 8 of chapter 3. It reads, "The scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, In thee shall all nations be blessed, blessed, blessed." Paul spent some time the last couple of weeks trying to establish the authority by which he preaches the gospel, the source of that gospel, that it is in fact genuine, that it is not perverted in a way that anybody, any attempt to pervert the gospel would be thwarted and should be fiercely debated and dealt with to the point of correction. In chapter 2, which we didn't see printed, we find that some very heavy doctrine is laid out by Paul about the resurrection, death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, which is the gospel, that the fact that justification, salvation, sanctification, glorification, all comes through something called faith, the gospel of faith, that the gospel will produce a faith, and that settles it. I don't see the donuts or the coffee, but that's the extent of the lesson today, if you get that. Not nothing else, not the gospel and faith and it is in fact true that the just shall live by faith. And how we get that faith is through the gospel. And what Paul does after laying out eloquently in chapter 2, this whole idea of justification by faith. As a matter of fact, someone, please remember, somebody in chapter 2, go to chapter 2 for me. And I'd like for you to read the last two verses of chapter 2 to give us a transition into chapter 3. Elijah, it's so good to see you. Hope that you had a fruitful a vacation, sabbatical, but we're waiting right on you. Basic Doctrine is waiting on you. We're waiting to bring you back into the fold. Hope you had a great trip, And I see we must have had some other travelers because some of y'all I don't recognize, but you know. But nevertheless. Somebody there for me, Linda Mills, if you would. I have been crucified with Christ.
I am no longer alive, but the anointing is living in me. Whatever life I have left in me, really not. I live by the faithfulness of God. The one who loves me is living by my cross. Verse 21. I can't just miss God's grace, and I won't. It's being right with God.
But you foolish resurrectionites, I simply can't believe that after knowing what you know, that you now are going to rely on some experiences, maybe, as opposed to the gospel. Y'all read it for yourself. Paul is amazed. He's amazed at how folk can be grounded, so-called grounded in the gospel, But yet, let some Johnny come lately come and tell them something different. Folks, that's how we get cults. I shared with you last month, month before last, that the cults don't recruit in non-church environments. They only recruit out of churches, cults. They only do that because they know that you had an experience with the supernatural. So it's fertile ground for them to get there and distort something. And it is your desire. You know, most folk, you know how folk are when y'all, you know how y'all were when you first got saved. Couldn't keep you out of church. Went to every Bible study, lunch with the Lord, evangelism. The deacons are having a Bible study. I want to go to that one too, you know. But then all that good word that you heard is somehow being negated by adding something to it. Salvation is simple, folks. If you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead, that God the Father raised him from the dead. If you believe that, you shall be saved. I don't hear in there, maybe I do. I mean, they're better instructors in here than me. But I didn't hear in that verse anything else but that. I heard believe. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm here to tell you, as I've told you in years past, the doctrine of works is the most dangerous doctrine ever perpetrated on man. Because it leads you to believe that the work, the redemptive work that Christ did on the cross requires your help. It requires you to do something. So it's Christ dying, but you need something else. Did y'all hear what Paul said over there in chapter 2? He says, wait a minute. If Jesus Christ climbed up on a pole and died as a provision for the settlement of sin in your particular case, and now you need something else, somebody's foolish. And Paul says, I'm not daring to call God foolish. You're the fool. You are silly. You're not being reasonable. You're not using the two brain cells that you have rubbing together. If you think that you need something else after what Christ has already done, the work has already been done. The work was the work at the cross. And the living out of those works is within you because, and it's not even about you because he says there that it is not I who live, but it's Christ who lives in me. Wait a minute, I thought you said Christ died. Yeah, but he got up and he lives in me. So then why do I need something else? You said, Brother Sneed, I mean, I've been with you, but maybe I missed Sunday. I missed Family Church School a couple of Sundays. Please brief us on what's going on here. Well, the churches at Galatians had some folk that, you know, they've been hearing all the good teaching, but, you know, the sound teacher has moved on, and he's moving around on his various missionary journeys. And then you got the local teachers there, and they're called Judaizers. And these Judaizers says, and we're going to deal with just two of the issues. They said more than that, but two of the issues is that the law and circumcision. The law and circumcision. You got to have those two if you're really going to be saved. Y'all don't understand. The churches at Galatia were primarily Gentiles. They are not steeped in Jewish history. They've read about it. They have some familiarity, as you know, because teachers teach out of their experiences and backgrounds, and Paul is sharing that. But the issue is, they don't know all that stuff. All they know is that they heard a gospel, And Paul didn't tell them nothing about, and you shall be circumcised. But the Judaizers come by and tell them something different. Let's pause here for a minute. D.J. Winters, who was the brother of Sister Thompson, the chairman of deacons. It was her brother. He was a pastor over at Corinth years ago. And he said, one man, a woman, can come in and do more damage to a bunch of sound folk than it'll take. They can do more damage in a few days than a man in a lifetime will take to correct that mistake. Folk who want to add something to this, on fire one day, but then that ain't enough. They got to go with the sensational. They got to go with their experiences. And in these first five verses here, Paul is going to address that. He's going to address this issue, argue this issue out of their experiences. And folk, the bottom line, I'll tell you the bottom line before we even get there. The bottom line is, don't trust your experiences, but you can always trust the word of God. Y'all didn't hear me. All of us are going to have experiences, okay? But your experience may not be my experience. So when I don't act the way that you acted when you got saved, you may think that I'm not saved.
All right.
But guess what? You shouldn't be thinking about whether I'm saved or not, because the word of God is clear, is that only God knows who's saved.
All right.
Y'all don't hear me. Two people down at the morning bench. Y'all remember the morning? Oh, y'all know it as the morning bench. Okay, all right. There they are. And one hears the word, the other hears the word. And one stands up and says, I believe. I accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and personal Savior right now. I do believe that he lived. I do believe that he died. I believe, praise God, that he rose from the dead. And I believe because I believe that, I confessed it with my heart, my mouth, and I believe it in my heart, I am saved. And the pastor says, good, you're saved. The other person heard the same gospel. They got up. They ran down this pew. They ran down that pew. They jumped over that pew. They fell out. They squalled. They hollered. They yelled. And they got up and they says, I believe that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead by his Father in heaven and the power of the Holy Ghost. And I believe because I have confessed with my mouth and I believe in my heart that God raised him from the dead, I know I'm saved. Which one of those people are saved? Oh, I wonder what put you that way. Because they said the same thing? According to scriptures, they both are. But guess what? When they get ready to go and share with another disciple, you remember the one that jumped up and ran around, turned around three times, forgot that they were in a Baptist church and did three Hail Marys and did the confession? When they share that same word that they heard. They don't change it one bit. They just, from what was expressed to them, but they add something. Therefore, they change it. Because they said, now you can do all of that. You hear the word, because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But you need to jump up, run down two pews, skip over one, fall out on the other one. See what I'm saying? That's what this was equated to. Kind of personified, and there's hyperbole there, but we get the message. In other words, they were adding something to it that they were not taught. And this irritated Paul, because they were making it more than irritated, highly irritated him, because this issue about the Mosaic law, they says, yeah, you do all of that, but you gotta adhere to the law. Yeah, you do all of that, but you got to be circumcised. Every one of you men in here got to be circumcised. And they go, oh, no. That that ain't what Paul told us. And the Judaizer says, no, you will be circumcised. And all your boy's sons from now on will be circumcised. And so they were going to subject them there to this. And you know, it's easy for them to say, they got it on the eighth day. And the Jew got it on the eighth day. Well, here they coming up to me, and I'm 80. pull up, Mike. No. Okay, or because they're good Christians on fire, yes, we need to submit to that. Folks, don't ever get caught up in man-made traditions as the basic requirement for your, yes, legalism. You know, in other words, but we don't have so much legalism as we do what I call forced tradition. We do stuff out of tradition. That has nothing to do with our salvation. But here, requiring the Mosaic law and the circumcision was straight up, hard pressed legalism. You know why? Because if you don't do it, you ain't saved. That means you ain't serving the temple, you ain't gonna do this, you ain't gonna do that. And so people went away thinking, we don't have it until we adhere to this. Listen to the arguments that Paul makes. This only what I learn you, receive ye the Spirit by the works of the law or by hearing of faith. Did you receive salvation by hearing of faith, or by hearing the word, by hearing the gospel? Did you receive it by the Spirit? Or did you receive it by works of the law? Well, the law will just reveal to you how bad you are. Matter of fact, the law is a great mirror and a great school teacher. It'll teach you, it'll show you every day those blemishes that, you know, when you don't look in the mirror, you think, I'm cool, I ain't got no blemishes. Then you look in the mirror and you see, that's what the law does. The law shows you how far away from everything you really are. And he says, did you receive this salvation through the hearing of the word and by faith? Are you so silly that you now want to abandon the Spirit and be made perfect by the flesh? Verse 3 now. He's saying, I'm amazed. See, folk, because we know that every exchange about salvation, justification, it has always been on the basis that it is a spiritual change. It is not a physical change. Okay, and you can't receive the Spirit and then perfect flesh. The only way you're going to be a better person after you get saved is by the Spirit of God that lives in you. You're not going to get better on your own by self-determination, by taking self-help courses, by going to some. You're not going to do that. And Paul is saying, wait a minute, how did you receive this? If you didn't get saved by the flesh, you can't be perfected by the flesh. Why would you then turn to those methods that are only fleshly? That's what Paul is saying here. He says, you know, I know things have happened. You've seen people, they have their testimony, but their experience is not normative, folks. And it is different. If I asked this morning, can you recall the day you got saved? Some of you would share about experiences that you had. And you know what? I went out like a light. So now, how does Nolens feel when she said, I guess I better go find out by the light, because I know he's a good Christian man. That Deacon Johnson went out by a light. I'm going to go follow him. That's experiential, but it's not normative. It's not gospel. It's not a requirement. Don't get so steeped in legalism that we forget the giver of the law. The giver of the law knows why he gave the law. He is the law. Y'all don't hear me? And the issue is, you can never do the law perfectly in every instance, because then you would be like the lawgiver. All right. Oh, no, you'd be the lawgiver. All right, I'm just trying to set the table here. Have you suffered things in vain? In other words, you've defended this gospel and you suffer persecution. Was that in vain? Now you're going to let these people come in and run a hustle on you? You know, Deacon Sneed out for one Sunday. You know, Deacon Johnson not over at the Rock, and now they come up with all kinds of stuff. Was that in vain? Why do we labor? You know, all these classes and studies and all this, if you're going to foolishly, nonsensically sit here and decide to do something that is clearly not in the Word of God. Verse 5, then I'll show you something. When people were doing miracles, Paul is simply saying, hey, minister to you, did you believe your healing because the law said you would be healed? Or did you believe it by some faith? He's trying to tell them, and he'll share with them in a minute or two here, you know, to just live by faith. You're justified by faith. He writes to the church at Ephesus, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and not that of yourselves, and not that of yourself. Have you ever stopped and read that particular phrase in the scripture? It means that you didn't have nothing to do with it. Amen. In other words, you didn't do anything to get saved, and you can't do anything to get unsaved. So because you don't adhere to the law, see, the issue is, and he will tell them in a few minutes, you follow the law and you'll die. The law will condemn you. You know why? Because you can't live up to the law. You can't even drive 70 miles an hour on I-35. You got to do 71. And then when the cop stops you, you say, well, I was only doing 71. You broke the law. But most folk would say, hey, I wasn't all that bad. I know. I would say, well, hey. And you know what? And we trick ourselves. We trick ourselves. You know, I'm only doing 74. Therefore, you know, they won't stop you unless you're doing 5 miles over. If the brother stops you at 3, you're getting a ticket. You might as well have been doing 100 because you broke the law. And that's what most folk do. They looked at their speedometer and they said, well, wait a minute. I was on the speed limit is 70. I was only doing 72. The cop put his lights on. I'm going to do 80. If I'm going to get a ticket, I'm going to get a ticket. And they call this running away from evasion. Evading arrest. Don't want to go there. All Paul wants to know, did you receive it by the law? Did you receive the indwelling of the Holy Spirit by the law or by faith? See, because the Holy Spirit is not coming into you until you believe. He will not come until you believe. And so Paul says, did someone say, well, these are the Ten Commandments. This is Mosaic law. You are now saved. Not one could give that testimony. You know what they said? They said, oh, no, we believe by faith. And the Spirit indwelt us. Some of us felt him. Some of us felt him to the point that we jumped and we hollered. Some just passed out. Some just didn't say a mumbling word. Those that don't trust our experiences and trust the gospel that we believe. Trust the one who is the author of the gospel. That's who you trust. Then Paul says, you can't trust your experiences, because they're different for everybody. Look what he says in verse 6. He said, I tell you something else you can't trust. Because you know how he starts that sentence? What's the first word in the next verse?
Yeah.
Oh, even. Okay. Yeah, even. And you know what? This is very interesting. Got a couple of instructors in. They probably read the lesson and they see. But I saw something really different here. He said, even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, and then it says no. See, 6 and 7 should be read together. He says, but let's just look at 6. It says that Abraham believed God, and he was justified based on that belief. Did anybody ask why Abraham? Because remember, the legalists, they were talking about the Mosaic law and circumcision. The Mosaic law was from Moses. But all of them, first of all, you would say, could identify with Abraham. They believe that they are descendants, they are heirs, along with the promises that God made to Abraham during the Abrahamic covenant, that they were heirs and that they were going to reap the benefits of being connected racially, physically with Abraham. And Paul said, even Abraham believed God. Even Abraham was justified by faith. Do you remember when he told Abraham that? Y'all know your Bible. Know Genesis, Exodus, Numbers. Well, the account in Genesis was 430 years before the Mosaic law was given. 430 years before the law. There was no law. And Abraham believed God is what all he said. He was saying, wait a minute, was anybody saved 430 years before the law? He's saying Abraham trusted God and it was accounted. That's imputed. That's the doctrine of imputation. A couple of my basic doctrine students are writing. Okay, yeah, that's it, Frankie. Imputation, imparted. In other words, it's put on your account. Okay, he was counted righteous. But read verse 7. It says, now connect, he says, for righteousness. Know ye what?
Therefore, that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham.
In other words, the same faith, the same trust that Abraham had for God before the law and was justified. Don't you know that those of you that believe here at Resurrection Church, in 2019, that you are a child of Abraham, not because he observed the law, but because he trusted God. Y'all ain't excited enough. Because everybody is thinking, oh, you know, the Jews are there, chosen folk because of Abraham and they trusted it. No, I'm there because of Abraham. I'm going to be the beneficiary because of Abraham. And what did Abraham, what Paul was trying to do, he's saying, hey, don't shout on that. Shout on the fact that he trusted God and did not have the law. And now you're going to come up here and tell me that his trust, you need Abraham, now the law. Now legalism. And you can make up any legalism that apply for today. Y'all got plenty of examples because y'all go to a Baptist church in Church, Texas. So I know you got a whole bunch of stuff. Legally, it sounds good. You can't even break. Yeah, you can't even keep the law. Does anybody in here have a copy of the Resurrection Baptist Church at Redland Oaks and Church Constitution and bylaws? Anybody have a copy of it on them? Anybody other than Harry? He has to walk around with him and McAllen. Mac, but Jay, hey, and you know what? You could tell all these people are getting to talking about, you know, the Constitution and we need to do this and we need to do that. Have you read the Constitution? So, and are we going to live by the Constitution? Are we going to live by the Word of God? Are you going to trust God? Because I guarantee you can't trust that Constitution. You know why? I can't even trust y'all to read it. So, all right, so, all right. Case settled. I'm sorry. See, I broke the law again. I broke the law, Lord. But listen to it. He says, and the scriptures, verse 8 says what? And the scripture foreseeing. Stop right there. You know what? Instead of saying heathen, say your name. Say your full name. No, I'm serious. We're not right, because heathen there is simply talking about the Gentiles. Okay? Say your name though. But here's the beauty of it. Scriptures, gospel that he's preaching to Abraham had my name on it. Had me in mind. God was thinking about me when me didn't exist. God was thinking about me when me existed, but wasn't thinking about him. His word, that's why the scripture, that's why you gotta believe the word. That's why Romans 10:17 says, now faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You've gotta hear the word of God, folks. And there are a number of ways, there are a plethora of ways, there are a myriad of ways to hear the word of God. But the issue is, we don't listen to the word, we listen to folk. Oh, we do. We rely on what Aunt Mabel, Auntie and them, what Pastor Brown, Deacon Sneed, Deacon John, Deacon Newsom, Deacon, what they say. You've got to believe the gospel, folk. The gospel was there when none of us existed. And God was sharing it with a Jew to help someone else. That's why Paul could write in Romans 1:16, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God to the Jew first, but also to the Greek. That Greek is me and you. Parlez-vous français. Hi, y'all. Oh! Preach before the gospel unto Abraham. Did anybody until now realize that Abraham heard the gospel? See, we equate the gospel primarily with the New Testament. But Abraham was taught that there would be a seed. And that seed would produce justification for all of those that believed in it. Wait a minute, you don't get it. Abraham was taught resurrection. That's gospel, isn't it? He was taught resurrection. Oh, a number of ways, but we'll just deal with the one with the boy Isaac. He's up there, ready to thrust his knife into Isaac. And you know what he said? Me and the boy going up, and me and the boy coming down. In other words, wait a minute, Abraham, we heard what God told you. God told you, y'all going up, but it ain't nobody but you coming down. And Abraham says, no, you don't understand. This boy will be raised. Even if I have to go through with it, God will raise him. That's gospel, folk. And Abraham believed God. And because Abraham believed God, he trusted God. Didn't say anything about Abraham, you gotta obey the law. Wasn't no law, he hadn't given the law yet. So you can't say law is one of the prescriptions for salvation and justification. He says, saying, in these shall all nations be blessed. When God told Abraham that all nations would be blessed through him, does anybody know what the blessings are? See, because the prosperity preachers, you know, they'll tell you that you get hooked into Abraham by faith, and you'll be blessed, you'll be highly favored, you'll be the head, not the tail, you know, you'll have money going, you'll have money coming, you know, you'll have sheep and goats and all that stuff that I don't necessarily want, you know, only goat I want is on plate, you know, But do you realize what the blessing is there? Thank you. Glory, glory to God. God was speaking salvation to Abraham before Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. So Abraham only trusted what God said, what God did, and what God said he would do. So then, they which be of what? What? Now, so you know what you say, Reverend Pastor Sneed, you know, you probably just one scripture there and you're trying to tie all this together. I ain't no one scripture guy. Yeah, I teach out of one scripture because I'm capable of doing that. Well, a lot of folks can't do that, but I can. I don't mind taking one. I don't need 8, 9, 10 because the word speaks for itself. But if you guys would, there's a verse of scripture. Y'all know how I am with numbers. But I think it's chapter 3. I think it's in the book of Luke. And I think it might be verse 8. Anybody there? And by the way, I see security is on the job now. Glad they on job. Because there's a breakout getting ready to happen. If somebody don't get some air up in here, it's going to be a problem. Don't need to be saved. I mean, don't need to have air to be saved. But we need some air. We need relief up in here. It's hot up in here. Man. Okay, is anybody there? Chapter 3, verse 8. Did anybody go? Okay, help me out. Harness. Did y'all hear that? Oh, is that so? As Deep would say, man, that's rich. That's sure enough rich. Did y'all hear it? Don't think you're saved because you're of Abraham, that you have some special lineage. God is capable of raising anybody up in the line of Abraham. That means that the Greek, the Jews, the Africans, the Chinese, that means that anybody who accepts Jesus Christ, who accepts that gospel, can be raised up in the line of Abraham. So it means that you have no physical connection with Abraham by race or birth. But guess what? He's your father. He's the father of faith. Because he was blessed, you're going to be blessed. And God is going to continue to bless him because you are blessed. In other words, just like he gave him justification, you are justified. So you can't play, you know, because you were raised up in the church and you the preacher's son and you got special, you know, you get this. You're like everybody else. You're just trying to make it in. Oh, did I say preacher's son? I'm sorry. I meant preacher. You know. You're just trying to make it in like everybody else. And you got to go through the same hoops. And don't let nobody believe you, folks, because I'm back to Kalsa again. In the 105 course that we teach here, the whole idea is for you to be able to identify a false doctrine, okay? And it's false if it adds anything to a perfect gospel. So in other words, that's why they only recruit in churches. So they got to make you believe you know the basics, but you need something else. And you know that. When there is a dominant personality, this is the definition of cult. That's what we teach, so that's what we're. When there's a dominant personality that arises out of a particular group, and that dominant personality becomes the focus as opposed to the B-I-B-L-E, Jesus Christos, that's a cult. We have to be very careful, folk, lifting folk up above other folk. Better be very careful because legalism, because then when you don't support somebody, you know, here you got Bud lifted up. And so now Bud sets a rule that's convenient for him and now makes it a stipulation of your salvation. I know what I'm talking about. I ain't telling you what somebody told me. Happens every. And you're saying, Brother Sneed, but I don't see how, you know, reasonable folk, smart folk can do that. That's just folk who don't know, they really don't know the word. Shut up. You don't know what you're talking about. You know why? Jonestown. Jonestown. As a matter of fact, years ago we had a member that relatives were down there. Started out in that same church with Jim Jones. Loved him. Look at his early sermons. You don't see nothing in there that ain't just straight out of the G-O-S-P-E-L. But the issue is when you start diverting, he becomes a, and a little simple thing. Oh, well, in order to really have salvation and be in tune with the Lord, you now have to accept this legalism. All marriages are now dissolved. Taylor, nope, sorry. That right there should send up an antenna, folks. Oh, when people, and a lot of times it's a lot more subtle than that, though. But then it creeps in there. And before you know it, you out here following legalism. You know, well, they say I can't come back to resurrection until I complete my 201 class. That's legalism. That's for your benefit. They say I ain't saved. They say I got to come back and be baptized. Now, some of that, I mean, it's on y'all. Y'all know y'all are go on and get back in the water. You know, it'll be. See, that's how it starts off, real innocent. Yeah, now you're getting back in the water, you know, and then it becomes a legal requirement that if you wasn't baptized in this church, you got to be baptized. That's legalism, folks. You see what I'm saying? It comes from all over the world, all kinds of backgrounds. We're not going to put any legal restraint on you and say that it is the basis of your justification or salvation. Not going to happen. And when it does, it's a cult, so run. Okay, but verse 10 says, Deacon White, I have to apologize. I was being very dogmatic and I was saying that, you know, the law, you know, you shouldn't do it. Maybe I should reconsider. If you guys really want to just do the law versus grace, the law versus faith, go on and do the law. But before you do that, could you just read the verse you just read? Because it says that curse, we ain't talking about somebody just putting some vile lips on you. We're talking about you are condemned. Because if you try to live the law, you are lost. You're not saved. But he said, but now if you want to continue in it, you go ahead. You're going to fail. Where do you go once you've broken the law? It's only the penalty. You see what I'm saying? Yeah, you're right, Sister Hollis. You're exactly right. Where do you go? You're going to pay the fine. You're going to go to jail. You're going to do something once you've broken the law. But see, by grace through faith says that I can break the law. Didn't say I should break the law, but it says when I break the law, I go to God and I ask for his mercy and grace. And I'm put right back in a position as if I had never done anything to start with. But when you break the law, it's on your record. I'm looking up some of y'all's tickets the other day, and I'm thinking, man, I thought these were nice folk. Still on your record. Because you broke the law. And that's what Paul is saying here. You're condemned. Once you get hooked in with the law, you're condemned. You are condemned. And he says, he's still quoting scripture, he says, he says, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. You break one, you broke them all. Now, some of you, we look at the Ten Commandments and you would say, I would never do that. But guess what? And you say, oh yeah, I've done that before. And yeah, and I know I'm subject to do that. The word says, if you break one, you broke them all. So that should put your little pity-patty, pablum-puking opinions about, you know, it was just a little sin. It was a white lie. It wasn't a black lie. It was a lie. Says you've broken them all. And so now you broke the law. You don't have no other recourse. But I trust God. I trust God who made me, who knows, who, wait a minute. Did y'all caught the Romans 5:8 that I was on the road last month. But God commended his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. Let me tell you something, folks. You were doing ungodly things while Christ was dying. You had done ungodly things while Christ was dying. And you're still doing ungodly things. But Christ died for all that sin. You know how I know? Well, when y'all get some time, y'all go back and do chapter 2. Years ago, Bill Burwell, the evangelist, used to be here. Preached a great sermon out of chapter 2. It was called A New Way to Cry. K-R-Y. Look at it when you get a chance. It's right about this because it's doctrinal. He shows exactly that you've got to know. Cry, K, no. You got to know. You got to know that Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world, that he lived, he died, he was resurrected. You got to know that. You got to get that down. That's got to be in your spirit, and you got to believe it with all your fiber and all your being. And you can't let people add stuff to that, Sister Marshall, because they'll have you doing everything. The doctrine of works is the most dangerous doctrine ever perpetrated on man, because it makes you believe that you can do something to get saved. And I'm here to tell you this morning, there ain't nothing you can do. And when we do that in basic doctrine and tell folk like that, poor Sister Kendall, man, she used to take so much grief, and now Sister Betty has to take that grief. People know, what do you mean? Nothing. You got to do something. No, you ain't done nothing. Amen. There is no work. And you say, well, wait a minute. Who am I going to believe? I'm going to believe you? I'm going to believe the Word of God. I'm going to believe the Word because I trust God. I trust God. I don't know if I trust you yet, but I trust God. I trust God. I trust God. He says, but that no man is justified by what?
The law.
But no man is what?
Justified by the law.
Wait a minute. Do y'all understand what no man is? That's no man or woman. No one is justified by the law. In other words, you know what? If it were possible, you could live perfectly by the law and die and not see Jesus Christ. But none of you have to worry, because you ain't never going to be. I promise you that. Because just the thought that you had when I made that statement, you sinned just then when you thought it. Okay? Now, verse 11 says, but no man is justified by the law in the sight of God. It is evident, for the just shall live by faith. In other words, the reason why no man has ever been justified by living the law is because the only way to be just is by faith. Trust in Jesus Christ as your Lord and personal Savior. That's why Jesus Christ could declare, EJ, no man coming to the Father except by me. You, in other words, Jesus, you can't get there. Come on, all roads lead to Rome? No, only one road leads to Jesus, and that's the Jesus road. Don't let nobody fool you. And people want to take you down these paths and put their version, their tradition, their legalism on you. Don't press me with your foolishness. And you know what? Whenever I see foolishness, I call it out. I call it out in love, you know, as much as I'm able to do. You know, I say it with love. But all that man-made, that craziness, God doesn't care anything about your denomination. God doesn't care anything about your religion. He only wants a relationship with you. And that relationship starts with you believing in him. You know why he says? You know how I know? It says, only faith pleases God. And God is a rewarder of those who diligently faith him. y'all don't hear me? Okay. Verse 12, and the law is not of faith, but that man that doth them shall live in them. Christ hath what? Redeemed us. Now, what he did in these past two verses, he showed them the law. First, he did it with his experience. Then he showed them with an argument that, you know, Abraham, just because you connected with Abraham. And then he says, hey, you know, by the way, the law. Since you want to talk the law, let me show you what the law does for you. And so finally, let's look at where he's at. Verse 13. That. Now he takes on the argument. He says, you didn't get your own experiences. You didn't get Abraham. You didn't get the law. Let me talk Christ to you. He said, let me tell you one thing. Christ died for you. The scripture says, do y'all remember Deuteronomy, don't you? That's what he's saying. Yeah, y'all remember Deuteronomy, don't you? It says, cursed is the one that hangs on a tree. Jesus Christ hung on a tree. Every sin that you've done, you've done, you've done, you've done, we've done. Christ took it on at the cross. In other words, Galatians 4:4, and we ain't there yet, it says, it goes like this. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent his son. Made of a woman, made under the law. When the fullness of time had come, in other words, when you couldn't sin no more, y'all didn't hear me. There ain't nothing. Y'all surprised by what's happening? You know, oh my God, they disqualified the Derby winner in the 145th. The world is going to come to an end. I'm surprised it didn't happen in one or two or three. Because the world is crooked. And Jesus came here dying for a crooked world. He got on the cross. And here's the thing. Scripture says, he who knew no sin became sin for us. In other words, you the one that should have been there. You should have been there. He didn't have any sin. Me and you had all the sin, but yet he died for it. Does that give him a right to set the standard? Amen. So these Johnny come latelys, these shade tree family church school teachers and preachers that will come and tell you there's something else you need. You know, you need 30 days of attendance. And we'll think about your salvation. We'll give you your salvation certificate. Tell them to keep it. Because that ain't nothing but a gimmick. You know why I know it's a gimmick? When people call you up, you just want a trip, a vacation. Won't cost you nothing. Let me tell you something. Hang up. It's going to cost you something. Because there's something else. Got the hook I want to give you. But it was Christ. We are blessed. There's that word blessed again in 14. Because Abraham was blessed. And when God told him that he would be blessed through many nations. He was simply saying that just like you receive justification, sanctification, and ultimately glorification, so will those who trust and believe in God only. Nothing else. Not men, not legalism, not circumcision, not your birthright, but trust in the one triune God who thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but condescended, came down here and lived as a man, died a death that no man has ever died, and then had the audacity to get up, ascend back to the Father, sit at the right hand of the Father, and intercede on behalf of the folk that he just died for.
Amen.
See y'all later.